Okay, so it's 1995, Memphis, Tennessee, Kirby Middle School. It's my first year there. I have a high top fade, looking like Wesley Snipes. Over there in the corner, I see this one kid who always comes in blue jogging pants with a curly Jewish fro. I fucking hated him. 1996, same Jewish kid, and I are running track together, become best friends. Still are friends 25 years later. And that's who I'm talking to today.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's just, yeah.
All right, so you had me watch that damn Ricky Gervais shit. What do you think about it?
Ricky Gervais?
Yeah, the Armageddon is the one that I saw today.
Yes. Oh my God. Okay, one thing you have to understand about Ricky Gervais's comedy is that his style is inflammatory, right? He says shit to get a reaction. That is his style. He says offensive shit. It's kind of like Dave Chappelle. Now, what I would like to hear in kind of your opinion is, what do you find from Ricky Gervais's comedy? What do most people find offensive about his comedy?
Are you assuming that I think it's offensive?
No, not at all. I'm curious as to what you think about it and what you find with your opinion. Because I could tell you what I think what people find offensive about it, but I kind of want to get it. So, you know, one thing he does, like, one, it's the language. He kind of uses words like cunt, fuck a lot.
That's British, though.
Right. But even deeper is, I would say, kind of his take on certain social issues. Obesity, you know, he's said things like, you know, it's your fault. It's their fault and it is your fault, you know, things like that. But I'm just curious what your take on that is, too.
I really ain't got too much of a take on it. Right? I listened to the whole special, right? Because I know you wanted to talk about it. So me being a good soldier, I powered through it. It wasn't offensive. I just didn't find it funny. The problem I have with a lot of comedians now, and to a point, all comedy is observational. But a lot of the comedy now is just observational shit that's not funny. Unless you agree with them. The funniest thing I found was the pedophile jokes were pretty funny. But, you know, overall, you know,
I think what I like about Ricky Gervais as well, and having watched some of his acting as well, like the show Afterlife, but it's the human interactions. It's his sarcasm that I find funny.
Ricky Gervais. Brilliant guy, brilliant comedian, undoubtedly. Dave Chappelle, brilliant comedian, undoubtedly. But what they say ain't the fucking gospel. It's just fucking comedy and entertainment.
Exactly. And you know, on that point, Ricky Gervais will even say it in his own acts. He's like, he'll say something offensive and he's like, it's just fucking jokes, guys. You know,
now on the flip side, I think it's your right to be offended by a joke. Like, you can be offended.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? But it is what it is. Like, as a comedian, you have ultimate levity on stage to say whatever you want to say within the realm of comedy. It's subjective. If I don't like your comedy and you're saying on stage, guess what I can do? I can go walk my ass out there, out that stadium.
Exactly.
And be okay. You know?
Exactly. You have the choice to turn off the TV or not watch the special anymore. Right? So.
Or you can watch it and be offended. That's your right, too. You can watch it and be offended.
Absolutely.
But it should end there. But overall, the jokes were, look, man, it was some funny parts in there. Like I said, the pedophile jokes were, I found funny. What else was super duper funny? Nah, that's about it, man. The pedophile jokes were the funniest ones to me.
Well, and again, you know, everyone's different. We all have different tastes in comedy and humor.
This is a two America situation, dog. I was like, oh, wife was going to love this shit. I was like, wife was going to love this one. But on the flip side, I watched the Dave Chappelle one, Dreamers 2. And that joke was all right, too. It wasn't, like, overly funny. Dave is just a good storyteller, but recently his punchlines haven't been landing like they used to back in the past. And I think that's mainly because maybe I'm used to it. But,
right.
You know,
you kind of lose that shock value.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Comedy in general right now, and it could be a function of my age, but I think comedy is lazy. It's very lazy now. Comedians, they're not crafting their jokes well as they did back in the day. Like, they used to be funny jokes,
right.
Funny punchlines, stuff to make you laugh. But now it's just a bunch of complaining. Like, one thing I didn't like about the Ricky Gervais, and I keep on pushing back, like, I'm woke. But nobody explains what woke is, and it's not your job to do that during a comedy act either. But it was just like one of those, like, all right, what are we doing here, buddy?
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, things evolve as well. You know, a lot of it was, what's the expression? Art imitates life, the social climate, what's going on in everyday life, I think influences comedy as well. But you're right, you know, it has evolved and it's changed. You know, I think of one of my old school comedians that I'm a big fan of, Rodney Dangerfield. You know, his humor and his jokes were definitely crafted differently than they are today. You know, one of his jokes that I love is, Uncle told me, come on over. There's no one home. I went over. There's nobody home. You know, it's just, it's kind of like stupid stuff like that. But, you know, it's evolved. It's changed.
The main problem with comedy now complains about social issues while they sit on stage and complain about social issues. Now it's just grievance comedy. Like, most of comedy is just grieving on what's happening in the everyday world and complaining about everybody complaining about it while they complain about it. I'm just like, this is ironic at best. Even the Dave Chappelle one. I'm not going to talk about trans people while I talk about trans people because I don't like punching down. It's weird. It's a weird dichotomy in comedy today. And it ain't just those two guys. It's just all comedians now are kind of in the lane where they just try to critique too much shit. And everybody ain't good at it. Like, Ricky Gervais is actually literally good at it. He has thought-provoking and funny crafted jokes. Even though I don't like him, I see the genius in his jokes.
Yeah.
Same thing with Chappelle. Genius of storytelling. Not as funny as he used to be, but the way they're crafted, masterful. A lot of these other comedians, though, I'm just like, yeah, especially if you're trying to do, like, political insight jokes, they're not good.
You can't blame the comedians totally for this, because if you think about it at the root of what is the goal of a comedian, it's to make people laugh, right? So they're going to say the jokes that get laughs is basically the point I'm trying to make here.
Okay, so here's my point, though, what you just said right there. If you don't get laughs, don't take it out on the crowd either. And that's my problem with a lot of comedians now. Well, they didn't laugh at this college, and your folks don't get my comedy, and they're too soft because they didn't laugh at my jokes. Like, y'all comedians sound real sorry right now. Y'all sound some suckers. They didn't laugh. They didn't get my joke. Huh. Comedy's changed. These young folks, they don't laugh at the stuff that people my age used to laugh at. I'm like, bro, do y'all hear yourselves, comedians? Like, seriously, once again, am I giving y'all too much credit? I think that you can craft jokes during this time and navigate the terrain. And if somebody disliked your joke, I think you're strong enough to take it. But a lot of y'all are just complaining. They're just talking about my jokes. Most of y'all think y'all George Carlin. You're not. You're not George Carlin. Stop.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
Even Bill Maher. Bill Maher tried so hard to be George Carlin. Like, bro, you're not. Stop it. You're not Carlin.
Well, no. Carlin is in a realm of his own. Bill Maher, I would say he got his start in stand-up, but he's more talk show now, I would say.
But that's all these comedians, though. They got podcasts now. They talking. And my problem with the podcast comedian spirit is these motherfuckers think they really geniuses. And look, I'm not saying that comedians are not smart. I don't say they don't have good opinions and their opinions don't matter. But your opinions don't fucking matter that much. Yeah, they don't.
No, I agree.
We made these motherfuckers the poet laureates of our generation. Like, we gotta actually take what you say seriously? We don't have to, bruh. Like, calm down. You said some funny ass joke. That don't mean you're gonna solve the climate change now. Like, yo, who gives a fuck? Your jokes can be funny. Cool, you made a funny joke. You don't have to break down to all us peons, well, this is how I construct a joke, and this is how I got the punchline. And because you didn't laugh at it, you don't get it. You soft and you a snowflake because you didn't think my joke was funny. Fuck out of here, dog.
Marcus, I have to be honest with you. I'm picking up a lot of resentment and projection right now.
My stand-up career didn't make it, so I'm bitter.
Listen, you don't have to take it out on them because you weren't funny, okay? Right.
You know, here's the odds of God truth, though, right? I feel like I'm a humorous person, but I would never be stand-up funny, right? Like, to craft the joke and work on it. And that's the thing, right? I know sometimes the joke don't land, but you got to take that joke and work on it. You know, work on it, work on it. When you see a joke, that joke's been worked, man, probably for hours and days and months. You know, to get it sounding right.
It gets tweaked. Jokes, they get dropped, you know, if it's not landing. You know, comedians are like, okay, this isn't the joke.
I feel like they ain't doing it no more, though. I feel like back in the day, they used to, like, take the joke. But now it's like, well, you just laugh. It ain't me. Goddamn generation, millennials, generation Z, they don't get it. That's how I feel, though. Like, comedians talk about the public whining, but the public can whine because that's the atmosphere. But now you got so many platforms, comedians whining back. You don't get it.
Well, of course everyone whines. That's the theme.
That's today, right?
Everyone wants to whine. They want to bitch and moan about things. And the fact of the matter is, opinions are exactly that. No one really gives a shit about your opinion.
I think people do care about the opinion. If you're popular, you're visible, and you're an effective communicator, I think people really do care about your opinions. But that's what, like you said, but what they are just opinions.
Exactly. Well, I think, you know, I'll tweak my statement. I think, you know, people do care about opinions, but frankly, opinions don't matter, right? Facts matter.
Do you think facts exist anymore?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think our perception of facts have changed. Oh, okay. I'll give you an example. Copernicus.
The fuck? Are we going to Copernicus? Really?
Yep. We're going to Copernicus.
That's the example you put in. Yep. All right, man. Go away.
Yep. No, I'm going to go with Copernicus. Okay. So Copernicus was one of the first, he wasn't the first person, but he was one of the first major players to come up with a heliocentric model of our solar system, right? Meaning that Earth was not the center of the solar system. The sun is.
Sun is, yes.
However, the masses believed that no, Earth is the center of the universe. Actually, and back then they didn't even know about galaxies, and you know, back then it was kind of like
they were dumb as fuck. Earth,
Earth was the center of the universe. There was a time when people believed that that was fact. We now know, no. Well, you know, I'm sure there's still some people out there. You know, we still have flat earthers, which don't even get me on that topic. But there was a time when the masses believed that the Earth was the center of the universe. And now we know the Earth isn't even the center of our solar system, which isn't even the center of our galaxy, which isn't even the center of the supercluster that basically our galaxy and galaxies around us. And it's not even the center of the universe.
But that's the thing, right? You had a whole generation of people who thought that dumbass shit. It's just like, for some reason, all the Roman gods, the Greek gods, they were fake. But this guy we got now, Jesus, he figured it out.
Exactly. And that's my point. You know, just because it's popular doesn't mean it's right. And I'm not going to go into social issues.
Hear me out. Jesus is awesome. Yay. I don't want you.
Don't get me started on that, Marcus. You already know my opinion on.
Bro, Jesus is awesome, guys. He can do no wrong. Jesus never get the blame for bad shit, man.
Oh. Gosh, yeah. Mm.
Jesus, stop it with your fuck me boots. Stop walking on me. Gosh.
For me, I love the whole, like, Mary and Joseph thing, right? Like, you've seen the jokes about the Immaculate Conception and, like, how she straight-faced told Joseph, I'm a virgin, yet pregnant.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah, as a miracle. It is. It's a big ass miracle.
Never happened before or since.
That's why Jesus is special, Cameron. Stop that. See, you finna offend the Christians, man. Jesus is awesome, guys. Let me tell you, he can do no wrong.
Listen,
I'm telling you.
I'm agnostic. We've had this conversation.
Jesus is real, guys. I'm here to tell you. That's that guy over here. That's Cameron. I'm here to tell you guys.
Hey, he's all powerful. Jesus was white, too. He was white. He was actually one of the very few Caucasians born in the Middle East.
Yeah, he was white as hell. That's what made him special, but he was white. Amongst all that brown, he stood at a beacon of whiteness. And he spoke English.
What's even more miraculous about the Immaculate Conception was that not only did Mary get pregnant whilst not having sex, she also gave birth to a white baby whilst also being Middle Eastern. I find that to be another miracle.
Hey man, that's what made Jesus special, guys, because he was white and he spoke English during that time. And miraculously, everybody understood
what he was saying. Obviously, he's Jesus. I mean,
why Jesus? Come on. Hey, yeah. Come on. Like, what can he not do? I mean, Jesus can do it all. So come on. Fuck.
Walk on water?
He did. It was ice. It was ice, though, he walked on it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
He did.
You're adding that qualifier, okay?
He walked
frozen
on it.
Frozen water is still water, okay?
He walked on water. It was ice.
So it's not a lie. He walked on it.
He walked on water. It was just frozen.
The other miracle was frozen water in the Middle East.
Climate change. Which is not real. So
absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Hey man, I had a question. Like what?
Yeah.
Why does people believe in climate change? I keep asking, like, what's the value add for like your broke ass not believing in climate change?
To me, the issue is I feel like climate change is real. Okay.
Most definitely real.
It's most definitely real. You know, we've had this conversation before with CO2 samples. You know, they in the Arctic, they can actually look at the atmosphere over the years. And what they found is that there was a spike at about the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. Right.
And we can stop right here. Now. It's real. It's real.
Yeah.
It ain't fake. Anybody who says climate change ain't real, you are a dumb fuck. Stop. You've been manipulated. And this is why I asked this, do facts exist? Because all the facts are out there. Matter of fact, this is a good test. Your ass last year, not you, Cameron, I'm just saying the general public, your ass was sitting in ball juice all last year because it's the hottest fucking summer ever. Motherfuckers dying and passing out. Cows passing out and shit. And you sitting there like, yeah, man, climate change ain't real. That's a liberal host. Like, get the fuck on. Like, this is the problem I have with society today. Truth only matters if a polarity of people agree with you. That becomes the truth. And that's the problem.
And manipulation of data points, right? Statistics.
You know what I say, right? Anytime somebody use numbers, they're trying to run a hustle on you, dog. That's the first sign somebody's trying to run game on you, bro. Because numbers don't lie, but people who make them do.
Well, and you can manipulate certain parts of studies to align with your beliefs or thinking, right?
Well, this is my whole thing now, dude. Like, I got in an argument about this, matter of fact, 2 weeks ago with somebody. He gave me some crime numbers about black-on-black crime, because miraculously, nobody ever can tell me the white-on-white crime rate, only the black-on-black crime rate. So by that logic, I always tell everybody, since y'all don't know the white-on-white crime rate, if we get the black-on-black crime rate down to the white-on-white crime rate, then crime magically disappears, right? It doesn't matter anymore. You would think that white folks don't do crime in America. just black people. Because nobody can give you the stats. I challenge you this, seriously, man. Next time somebody tells about black on black crime rate, ask them, hey man, what's the white on white crime rate? They go like, what? That doesn't exist, what? I promise you, dog. It promise you. But I say that to say this. Motherfuckers will tell you that shit. But my question is always to them, I'm like, well, what does that mean to you? Well, that's the numbers. I'm like, okay, yeah, you give me the numbers. I'm not even going to refute your numbers, ask you where you got it from. What does it mean to you? Why are you telling me this? Because what instantly comes out when people tell that shit is like, I just want to talk about black people. Like, you're trying to say black folks are inherently violent. So just say that. And I'm cool with it. But any data I get, I always ask, okay, what does that mean? Right, a homie of ours, who shall remain nameless, he was telling me about the the black marriage rate. He's like, yeah, man, 65% of all black marriages end in 7 years. I was like, okay, what's the rest of the data? He's like, what? I'm like, so what's the data for white people?
Well, that's the thing. It is less, but it's still higher than what it was back in the, yeah, it's like 40, it's 40 something percent, I want to say.
It's like 45%. But here's the thing about it. When you look at the father data, 80% of all marriages are failing, not just black, not just white.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's every 80%. So one has to ask, maybe there's a problem with how we're doing marriage these days. Not just look at one single thing, look at black people. So you mean to tell me if black marriages are just successful
right,
by extra 50%, there's no problem with marriage anymore. So it's like, what do you mean by that? So are you saying black people just can't love? Like, what do you mean by this shit? Like, okay, you give me the numbers, extrapolate this data. But the problem is, motherfuckers use the data for their own, like, manipulative, sinister ways, like you said.
So I'm looking at some 2019 arrest data. And first of all, I'm just going to say Asians are kicking everyone's asses. So total arrests amongst whites is about 4.7 million. Blacks, 1.8 million. Asians, about 87,000.
They don't do shit. They are working their arts.
Now, what's interesting is actual murder or non-negligent manslaughter. Whites, 3,650. Blacks, 4,000, which that's an interesting figure. I would like to see kind of data on basically the victims of those crimes. I would like to see, so we have a better understanding of, like you said, the black on black, white on white. But here's the thing, Asians, murders in Asians, 2019, 83.
So here's my problem. Here's my problem with all this. And I'm glad you read that data out. In anything else in America, we're not supposed to talk about race. We're post-racial. Yeah. We're supposed to all be together. But right. For crime...
For crime,
we got to separate that and be like, well, look at these whites, look at these blacks, look at these Asians. So well, we can't do that with anything else. Every time a black person brings something else, why are you bringing up race? But with crime, we all let it slide. That's my point. What do we mean with this shit? Like, what are we doing? I'm so cold, I'm so cold, I'm so cold. Hey, man, did old boy drop out the race?
Let me see. Talking about Chris Christie?
No, I'm talking about your homie, Vivek.
I haven't heard.
You know he's next, right? If he hasn't dropped out, he's next.
Oh, yeah, he should. I think last I read, he's at like 6%. So right now, it looks like Trump has a commanding lead.
That's going to fall. Daly. You know, I said he ain't gonna win, dog. I don't think he's gonna win.
He might not win, but I think he will get the nomination.
You think he's gonna get the nod? I don't think he's gonna get the nod, dude.
I think he's gonna get the nomination. I don't think so, dog. I think what we're starting to see, you know, a lot of the states are trying to take him off the ballot.
That's not gonna work.
No, it's not. And you know, honestly, I don't think that's a good approach anyway. Because we don't want to normalize that. Now,
not only that, he doesn't have dual process yet. It's about due process. That's the ultimate thing. It's
exactly.
Like he hasn't been convicted yet. Now, it'd be different if Jack Smith won his case and he got convicted. Then, yeah, take the man out there. Well, I know what I saw. We all know what we saw. Like, was that an insurrection? Goddamn right it was. I don't care what nobody say. That's what it was.
It sets a bad precedent. you know, there's been talk about removing Biden from ballots now, right? Because of Hunter Biden and those types of, which that's a whole nother discussion. But my point being, you're opening that up and you don't want to normalize something like that. Yeah. But like you said, until he's convicted, you know, you can't take him off the ballot until he's convicted. So having said that, I he still carries a lot of weight in the Republican Party.
I don't think he do, though. I think that's a misnomer. I don't think he holds that much weight. I really don't. Hear me out. I feel like the only reason dude is ahead right now is because he's not saying anything. But eventually the man's going to have to come out the shadows and start saying shit. It's just that whole, once they're gone, you can kind of rebuild them. The same thing happened with Bush, Obama, any president that leaves out the office and doesn't say anything, they get romanticized because they're not in control. But as soon as dudes start getting out there, matter of fact, okay, I'll put it like this, though. That counter-programming thing he had on Fox News, it was good. It was good. He was speaking like a president. I must give him credit for that. He was saying the right things. But mm-hmm. once that man get out there on the campaign and they start asking him questions and shit, and not to mention all these trials come up, bruh, you can't have 96 convictions and come out the other end. Okay, bruh, nobody can do that shit, dude. It ain't gonna happen. It ain't gonna work. It's over for dude, bruh. I truly believe that.
Well, I think if with the current lawsuits, if he comes out with zero convictions, I think he will be the nominee.
Bro, that's hard. That's hard, though.
I mean, but at the same time, man, he hasn't been convicted yet.
That's
you
true.
Know, say what you will about Trump. He just seems to keep pulling through these things.
96 of them, no doubt. I don't know. 96 is a lot. you got like 96 indictments, bro. That's hard for anybody. That's a hard lift, man. It's a hard lift.
I agree. I think if he makes it through without any convictions, he'll be the nominee.
Nikki Haley's going to be the nominee, dog. And I damn near might vote for her. I feel like.
I like Nikki Haley. I do.
Wait. Let me ask you real quick, dog. What was the cause of the Civil War?
Cause of the Civil War?
Yeah.
God, the answer to that is somewhat in depth. Money. money was the cause of it. You can say slavery.
You can't say? You don't think slavery was...
No. It was... No, I'm saying slavery was the cause of it, but the root cause was an economy based on slavery. I don't think it was as much of a moral issue as it was more of a financial issue at the time.
You know what? It's hard to take morality, right? And we can always go back and do that. But...
Right.
Without parsing words, definitely slavery.
No. Absolutely.
Her not answering that question, I was like, what the fuck you doing, Nick? Come on, Nick.
Well, yeah, it was definitely slavery. But I think the moral aspect of it, right? I think if you ask anyone now, right, 2024, is slavery immoral?
Of course, they're going to be like, no. Because morality is a sliding scale, depending on time.
Exactly. Like,
morality
exactly.
is not set in stone, bro. Like, morality is an up and down scale. It is. Like, I tell everybody, exactly. that. You can't, like, look at those motherfuckers. Like, I can look with my lenses of 2024 and be like, yes, all our founding fathers were bigoted assholes, which they were. But they also are bigoted assholes who did great things. Two things can be true.
Exactly.
Like, two things can be true, but she's going to probably be the nominee, and I think I'm going to vote for her. Now, it depends on who's going to give me the most shit. If Nikki Haley offered me the most shit, I'll vote for her. Joe Biden offered me the most shit, I'm going to vote for him.
Here's my thing. What I want to see is who offers the most shit, but has a history of delivering on actually giving the shit that they promise. Right? To me, because the president is limited in their power, right? You know, you have the three branches of government for a reason. And one thing, you know, I agree with, and I often mention, one of the complaints people have with politicians, politics in general, it's like nothing ever fucking gets done.
Yeah, it's supposed to be hard to make laws.
It's supposed to be hard. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you shouldn't try. But on the flip side, that means that you kind of got to go by what the person says too, because we know it's going to be hard, but it has to be spoken first. So once again, Joe Biden said, yo, I'm going to give. No, he actually didn't say this. Elizabeth Warren said she's going to do student loan debt. Joe Biden said we're going to do something like that. He delivered on that. He tried. He got blocked, but he tried. So I can't knock him for that. You know, I really can't. He tried to give student loan debt relief. He got blocked. Cool. At least he tried. He gave it a swing. Maybe the next time it'll pass. So, you know.
No, I agree. And, you know, again. It's a
reparation bill popping.
Well, that's the thing. You know, again, the reason things are hard to pass is because if you just base it strictly on majority, you could have 51% of the country controlling the 49%, right? So that's why you need certain majorities in the Senate and in Congress. Two-thirds
and shit, yeah.
Exactly, because you have to have an overwhelming majority to pass these things, right? You can't just have slightly more than half. Nikki Haley, I agree. You know, I've warmed up to her since we did our last podcast.
I told you, though. Listen to your boy, man. I told you she was a truth, bro. I told you. Like, look, man. Look, see, I got to pat myself on the back. If folks don't be listening to me, dog. Like, when she first declared her candidacy, people were like, she never get you. I'm like, bro, no. She can win this job. And she stopped doing stupid shit like she did at that joint about slavery. Yeah. But she can win this joint. She really can. She is the most electable up there. Now, I'm not going to lie. I saw bits and pieces of that debate in Iowa. Not a good look for either one of those two, in my opinion. Yep. Not a good look. But, you know, out of both of those, Nikki Haley still won, barely, but both of them really lost, if I'm being honest.
I'll tell you what I like about Nikki Haley, and this is actually, I think, one of the points you made with our last discussion on this. In terms of candidates right now, she's probably the most centrist candidate we have.
Yes.
Right now in politics, it's so polarized. You know, it's so polarized. That's why I love our relationship. You know, you and I, we disagree on a lot of things, but we're able to sit down and talk about it. And yeah, sometimes we get heated, but at the end of the day, we're still friends.
Yep.
I'm not going to not talk to you because we disagree on whatever the topic might be. I feel like we're losing that in America right now. People, if someone disagrees with you politically, so many people are distancing themselves from those individuals, but also conversations that need to be had.
I told y'all, man. I told y'all what Nikki Haley was going to do. I said she's going to soften her stance on abortion. Look what she did. Look, man, I should be a political advisor, dog. I said all this shit. Y'all motherfuckers never give me credit. I be out here getting it right. But nobody gives me credit, big dog. Nobody gives me credit, dog. And I think I'm probably going to be right about this Trump thing, but we'll see. I've been getting this shit right now. That's all I want to say.
We'll see. I want to see how the Trump thing plays out. If he doesn't have any convictions, I think he's going to be the nominee. Just given poll data, I mean, he just has an overwhelming lead on. I mean, he's a good 40 points above everyone else. Now, me personally, would I rather Nikki Haley get the nomination? Absolutely. Because she's more centrist. She's not as polarizing.
She knows how to get shit done, dog. She's the first woman governor, non-white man in South Carolina. The first state to secede from the Union. And she took down the Confederate flag. She knows how to get shit done. The problem with her right now is, dare I say it, she don't want to offend white people. And minority candidates keep doing this shit, bro. Obama did it with the Jeremiah Wright thing. I don't know Jeremiah. You was in this motherfucking congregation for 10 years. Now you don't know the guy. It's like, just be like, yo, bro, I rock with this. She keep on tiptoeing and she's acting like she want to be a vice president instead of the president.
Absolutely. And you see that from a lot of the candidates. They want to win the primary. but they also want to set themselves up
for the general,
for the general or plan B, right? Like, okay, if I don't get the nomination, well, maybe I can at least be Trump's vice president candidate, right?
That ain't going to end well, though. You saw what happened to Mike Pence, bro.
Well, yeah, no, exactly. But, you know, a good example of that is Biden and Harris. You know, you remember during the Democratic primary, they were
heated. Yeah,
heated. I was surprised, honestly, that Biden chose her as his running mate, just given how heated in the trash talking, right? But so they say what they have to get through the primaries.
Can we talk about how much she's like really been a letdown?
She is the least popular vice president, I think, in history, isn't she? I mean,
bro, like, she came in with so much hope and promise, but she's literally fizzled out.
Yeah.
First, they don't even put her in positions to win. They don't give her shit. Okay, so Joe Biden had a high profile because of Obama. Dan Quayle had a high profile because of Bush. Dick Cheney, who was actually the real president, guys, had a high profile because
W.
I mean, Harris has nothing. She's not adding anything. And then if Joe Biden die in office, which is a possibility, dude getting on up there, guys, in the stress of the free world, could take this man out. Nobody feels comfortable with her being president.
I'm really surprised, honestly, given unpopular opinion here, or popular, I guess it depends on what side you're on. Joe Biden, his presidency in general has been a letdown.
Disagree. Go ahead.
With the gaffes and all that, so much. I feel like they're playing cleanup with him a lot of the time. And what's surprising to me about Harris being a letdown is that you would think they would kind of try to put her in positions where she could succeed, where she could accomplish things, to be the leader of the party in the next election. Mm-hmm. But that hasn't happened at all. You never hear about Harris.
Look, like, man, the leader of the party, the Democratic Party, is Gavin Newsom. That's the guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's the next one up.
He's being groomed to be the next. Yes, yes, absolutely. I don't know what it is about Kamala. She just seems to be such an unlikable person.
I don't think she's unlikable. It's just she's not visible. They kind of put her in the back. And once again, every once in a while, you got to give them lobs. You got to give them stuff they can do. Stuff that's already fixed that you can put them in front and make them the face for. Like, what have they given her? They gave her, like, some Middle East thing. I was like, dog, that's a hard lift for anybody.
To add to that, again, the border.
Yeah, they sent her out there.
That's an impossible situation right now.
Don't make her the face of that, dog. Like, why would y'all do her like that? And she's going to take care of the border. What? No president has been able to take care of the fucking border. And now she's going to figure it out?
Exactly.
Come on, guys. That was stupid. That was dull.
So... I don't think, I could be wrong, I don't see her doing much more in her political career. I don't see her ascending her current position.
I'm probably going to have to agree with you on that. It's going to be a hard one. It's going to be a hard lift.
Yeah, I you know, maybe she'll get back in the Senate, maybe the House. But I don't see her going much further than she has now, because frankly, her resume is not fantastic right now. I don't see her going beyond this.
Well, here's the thing. She may have a lot of achievements in the White House, but they're not visible achievements. They're not being touted.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they're going to run their election. And I got to take Joe Biden his word. I said, I don't think Joe Biden's going to run. I really don't. But I got to take him at his word. He's going to run. He's going to be up for it. He can't switch. Well, he has to be married to Harris. He can't switch out Harris. Yeah. That's going to be totally detrimental. But we'll see.
I'm not even sure Democrats want Biden to run again.
Nobody wants to see a rematch of Trump and Biden, bro. Nobody. Yeah. Like, nobody is thrilled about this shit. You only got two choices, though. Well, third choice is not to vote for anybody. And I'm not going to lie, bro. I wasn't happy about voting for Biden last time. It was just like, nah, I can't vote for this guy. But once again,
well, yeah,
you give me a Nikki Haley. I damn near vote for her. I said, Biden going to have to start talking some real shit. Like, yo, student loan repayment, reparations packet. Hey, that's my guy.
Yep. And will he, though? See, that's the thing, too. Like, is there enough in the Democratic base to want to have those issues pushed through?
Of course not.
I don't know. Not. Yeah, I don't know. I don't. You know, they're always, politicians are always pandering, right? They basically say, if we're being honest, most politicians say what they have to get reelected.
You need something for the record, though. Once again, Biden did try to give student loan forgiveness, so I'm not going to knock him too much.
But right, right. He did. He did.
You do need term limits. I'm a firm believer that you do absolutely need a term limit. If you haven't did what the hell you got to do in 12 years in Congress, then it ain't going to be done, my guy. It ain't going to be done.
You need term limits. And honestly, something Haley's a proponent of that I agree with.
Competency test for seniors.
After 75. Yeah. I mean, there, in my opinion, there's no denying that Joe Biden is in mental decline.
I don't know.
Because
I'm not a doctor. I'm not a doctor.
Well, no, but, you know, I'll say this much. I'm not either, but I don't feel like you need to be to pick up on that. I think anyone that's had grandparents.
Well, that's the thing,
you
right?
Or, there's a comedian, I can't think of his name, but something he said about Joe Biden, it was kind of funny. He's like, is it me or is every time Joe Biden finishes a speech, he transforms into a Roomba and he just starts goes off in one direction, turns around, goes in the other direction.
You know what that is, though? That's just fucking bad staffing. This man has the terrible staff. Like, why'd I be sending that dude out like that? No, here's the thing.
I'm gonna say
everything you say is true. I'm gonna assume everything you say is true. He's in mental decline. He's doing shit. You know who also was like that? Reagan. But you know what you didn't see? Fucked up situations of him doing that shit because his staff was on point. So my whole thing is with Biden, he may be in mental decline. I don't know. I'm reluctant to say that because, like I said, I'm not a doctor. But if you want to kill those rumors, you know what you don't do? You don't let the man fucking wander off behind stage. Like, over there. You don't do that.
Yep.
You don't let the man trip over sandbags. As a matter of fact, you move out every visible object in this man's path. You'd be like, no. Nothing but straight lines and horizontal planes.
Did I see something recently? Jill Biden actually grabbed his arm and pulled him back from a speech, you know, to kind of guide him off the stage. So I just feel like the president of the United States should be able to find the stairs, you know, to leave the stage. call me crazy.
That's fair.
President, you're going to exit the stage left.
I mean, Roosevelt had polio, though. Right? He couldn't walk off stage.
But there's the difference between physical disabilities and mental disabilities or mental decline. I mean, yeah, point being, there should be cognitive tests.
It should.
Right?
It should be. I totally agree with that.
And in my opinion, it should be an independent party that does it.
And it needs to be public record, too.
It needs to be public record, and it needs to be a physician. Frankly, ideally, that doesn't have ties to any party.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But the thing that's
going to be hard.
That's going to be hard to find.
That will be. It will be, to be honest with you. That's why I'm going to take it a step further. It needs to be a physician that has zero skin in the game. And by the way, when I say that, I mean that needs to be any candidate over 75.
Not anybody over 75, you need to be checked. You do.
Yeah.
If a Fortune 500 company can kick your ass out at 65, then goddamn it, if you're going to be in the government, you need to get a competency test. Like, you saw what happened to Feinstein. Like, You know, they said they told her to leave. Mitch McConnell right now. God bless the man, but get the fuck out, bro. It's over.
Yeah.
Look at the guy. I'm
He had a few episodes where he just kind of went blank, totally blank.
You saw that last time he was there? I was like, I felt sorry for the dude. It wasn't funny. It was scary. I'm like, I thought dude was going to kill over. Like, get out.
And honestly, I feel the same way about Biden. I feel bad for him.
I do too.
I feel bad for him. And the fact that people are continuing to put him through this is just,
you're not going to talk no old person out doing what the fuck they want to do.
I know.
And if people vote for him, they vote for him. The thing is, Trump too, dude worries me about his age. Like, both of these guys are kind of dinosaurs. They really are. Like, people try to pretend like Trump ain't as old as he is. He's like 2 years younger than Biden. These motherfuckers are old. And both of these motherfuckers got like dumbass gaffes and say shit. Once again, why are we even doing this to both of these motherfuckers? Nobody wants to see this shit. Nobody wants it.
So I've said this before and I'll say it again. If there's a minimum age to run for president, there should be a maximum age.
Yeah.
And frankly, no matter their mental state, whether they're sharp or not, they're developing policies that they won't be around to see basically the benefit or not benefit, the result of. You have 80-year-olds coming up with policy that, frankly, they're not going to have to live with.
You are 110% right, and that's why you see all this money going to Social Security and not to know new child care taxes and infrastructure and shit like this. All our money is going to old people. Which, look, man, our money should go to old people. But let's be honest. Medicare should be a buy-in for anybody who wants it. It shouldn't just be old people or just the military. Anybody who wants Medicare should be able to buy into it. And what they should do, I think I heard Scott Galloway say this, you got to start reducing the age to get into Medicare now, a year, every year, until everybody gets covered, dog. That'd be the smart thing to do. But like you said, man, the consistency is old people. So they keep on giving themselves money.
Well, I agree. And I feel like it should. The thing about Social Security is you pay into Social Security.
You do. Right?
That is why, you know, when I hear, I think, I don't know the most recent date on it, but I remember in my early 20s reading a statistic that Social Security was basically going to be bankrupt the year I would retire. Right?
Fucked up, right?
I know. And I'm like, wait a goddamn minute. So I get to pay into this for 50 fucking years?
Biggest Ponzi scheme ever.
And I don't see. So I feel like healthcare, it should even be, have people pay into it. Make it like a Social Security tax.
Actually, you know, that's actually a good idea. If everybody just in America paid into healthcare, and then you go and get the healthcare, that would actually be a good ass plan. Now, what's going to happen though, the insurance companies, they're going to take you to war and you probably get assassinated. You ever run for office and say that shit. They're coming for you, buddy. That makes too much sense. What you just said is the key. Look, man, make it like Social Security. Everybody pays in like every other developed nation does, like Japan, like France, like England, Germany. Man, the insurance lobby will put two in your head, bro.
I know. And in the thing about insurance companies, it's a double-edged sword. People that have good health insurance want to keep that health insurance and they pay for that health insurance, right? So I think the fear is, okay, if there is a government-funded healthcare plan, are my benefits going to be the same with my current health plan? Now, at the same time, what we pay for health insurance and how they can determine, like, you have to get pre-authorizations, right? It can be frustrating because you're like, oh, I've paid into this. You know, I spend $600 a month for my health insurance, and now they're telling me they're not going to cover something.
Bruh, just to be honest,
it's a racket.
There you go. American health insurance is a scam, bruh. It's a scam. They literally find creative ways not to pay you for shit. I got a homie right now, Scott. What up, Scott? He's going through this. His wife, pregnant with a fourth child, goes to the emergency room, because she's feeling woozy. Insurance company said, yeah, it's not a real emergency, man. You're going to have to pay for that. It's like, wait, my unborn baby is at risk. My wife is feeling woozy and sick. How is that not an emergency? Not an emergency, man. Mm-mm. We're only going to pay $200. He has to pay the other $4,000.
I know. It's ridiculous.
First, why is it $4,000 for the emergency room? That's the first thing.
Yep.
Why is it $4,000? The second thing is, I got this high-ass expensive insurance. Why are you not paying for it? Because they know the less money they pay, the more money they get. It's a racket, dog. Yeah. So just take them out of it.
It's cyclical, right? So why is the visit to the emergency room $4,200? Well, so like the hospital charges $4,200. Insurance actually pays roughly, let's just say, $1,600. Hospitals charge so much, so they get a larger percentage paid. Right. Mm-hmm. So if they mark it up, then insurance will pay, say, 20%. But if the bill is larger to begin with, then they get more money. Mm-hmm. The reason they charge so much is because insurance only pays a percentage. It's this dance, right? It just goes around and around and around. Doctors and hospitals charge more because insurance only pays a certain percentage. Insurance only pays a certain percentage because hospitals and doctors charge so much. Now, what I think is highway robbery is for people who are uninsured. And, you know, the hospital bill is $4,200. I don't have insurance. Okay, well, your bill's still $4,200.
Well, guess what? You're fucked.
Yeah. Now, what you can do, you can negotiate with hospitals and be like, well, I can only pay $40 a month. That is something you can do. But still, I feel like if you're uninsured, then you should get a discounted rate because you should pay what insurance companies are paying.
Well, here's the thing, Cameron, and this is one thing me and the homie Scott was talking about. I've gotten an x-ray in Japan. I've gotten an x-ray in America. That x-ray in Japan was the same machine I used in America. Make it make sense why my x-ray in Japan was $20 and my x-ray in America was $2,000. It should be caps on all this shit. Cap it. Like, cap prices. Yep. It's just 50 little states with 50 little things. You need some strong federal laws to be like, look, bro, no, we ain't doing this shit no more. Insurance company, you still can make money, but it's going to be a cap on the payment. If you put, like, a federally mandated cap on all this shit, you're good. Like, even on all our drugs. Yep. You talking about negotiating prices that we don't want. Bro, put a cap on that shit. Like, look, dog. You can't charge no more than 3 times the price. Like, ain't no way in hell insulin should have went up that damn much.
Or like, you know, the EpiPens. Do you remember, what was it, 10, 15 years ago? Yeah. Like EpiPens were like $600-$700 each.
And the reason why is because we could do it. Come on, bruh.
Like, why? Exactly.
Like, yeah, it's damn capitalism. But we're running out of time, dog. This is the homie Cameron. Thank you for doing this. He's the first. Yes, this is going to be, I don't know where I'm putting this out, but you're the first guest. Just know that.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me, buddy. You know, I enjoy our conversations, and thanks for having me on your show.
People going to be pissed off again. I'm quite sure. You said something. Probably. I don't know what it is.
Oh, obviously, you know, it doesn't matter what you say. You're going to piss off half the people.
You know, my homie India said the same thing. You know, I made a good-ass podcast about crime in Memphis. I thought I played it down the middle, and people were like, yeah, that's your problem. I'm like, God damn, dog. Whoa. I thought I played it in the middle. You know, people are super shocked that I'm strong 2A and I'm pro-police. Even I'm not pro-police violence, like, or excessive force. However, sometimes excessive force is needed as a police officer. It's a nuanced argument, but I feel like when the police fuck up, you got to hold them accountable. People still try to make this seem like it's something I'm saying. Well, I thought you said you wasn't pro-police. Like, when did I ever say that? I ain't never said that shit. Like, I'm just saying, police brutality, unwarranted excessive force is wrong. I think we all can agree on that shit. But sometimes police need to kick somebody's ass. Every once in a while, police got to kick some ass. It's just the people whose ass need to be kicked, they ain't kicking it.
Well, here's the issue. One, you're a reasonable human being. And two, anytime your opinion is somewhat centrist or down the middle, you're always going to get criticism from both sides because they see you placating the other side.
You're right.
Now you can't just be like, well, there are two sides to every story. Truth's usually somewhere in the middle.
Yep. It's always in that gray. Anyway, brother, I'm gonna get this goddamn phone and let you have it, man.
All right, brother.
Love you to death, man. Be safe, man. Kiss the baby and tell Jenny the cooler side of you. She's so fucking cool.
She's awesome.
But no, shout out to you for getting a tall wife, man.
I married well. I married up. I married up.
All right, brother.
You got to marry up. All right, brother. I love you, man.
Love you too, brother, man. Get some sleep.